Medical Fun Facts, episode 54, Diagnosing Urinary Tract Infections. It's Thursday, the 6th of April, 2017. It's payday, and as this show drops, I hope I'm out to dinner. Thanks for subscribing and listening to Medical Fun Facts. A semi-accurate transcript of this show is available on the show notes at drgarrylum.com/blog. The other week I had the privilege of spending a couple of hours with four scholars who are beginning their coursework for a Masters of Applied Epidemiology. One of the scholars is Caitlin, who I've mentioned before, and she is actually the inspiration for Medical Fun Facts, the podcast. Each MAE scholar is expected to visit a medical testing laboratory and spend some time learning what happens and how to apply that to their studies in public health epidemiology. I explained some basic layouts for microbiology, showed the scholars some things down the microscope, and some agar plates. One thing I didn't get to explain in detail, though, was how we diagnose urinary tract infections. The most common urine specimen in clinical microbiology is known as a midstream urine. No, it's not the middle of a stream of urine as it emerges from your urethra. It would be hard to separate the middle from the surrounding urine, and I have no idea how you would define where the middle of the stream started and ended. No, a midstream urine is the portion of urine after the first spurt of urine and before the rest of the bladder is emptied. If you've seen a typical yellow top specimen container, we just need that to be half to three quarters full. We don't want you to get too generous because we don't like slopping urine over our gloved hands. In blokes, it's pretty straightforward. They just need to remember that if they have a droopy foreskin, to pull it back. What we don't want is cheesy smegma contaminating the urine tanks. Most men can let some urine out, stop the flow, pass some urine in the container, and then void the rest of their bladder into a toilet bowl. It's important you don't pee on the outside of the container. Again, we don't want to contaminate our fingers. In women, it's important to separate their lips or labia to reduce the amount of vaginal flora contamination in the urine. It's often easier to let the first portion go and then catch enough in the container and then empty the rest of their bladder. Some women have a lot of trouble with specimen contamination for a whole variety of reasons, mostly anatomical. In those situations, an in-and-out catheter may be necessary. The reason why we want a midstream and not a first-pass urine is because the first-pass urine is more likely to be contaminated with skin flora and flora that's resident in the urethra. We take advantage of this when asking for a first-void urine when testing for gonorrhea and chlamydia by PCR. Check out episode 51, which is on genital infections. It was the show where I did my own artwork. You really can't miss it. Once we get the urine in the laboratory, we prepare a counting chamber and inoculate agar plates. The agar plates are inoculated in such a way so that a colony count can be determined. This is important because the number of bacteria per milliliter to cause infection varies from site to site. For example, in symptomatic women with cystitis, that's infection of the urinary bladder, the number of bacteria per milliliter to cause infection is about 1,000-fold less than the concentration needed to cause pyelonephritis, or infection of the kidney. In the counting chamber, we use a microscope to count the number of pus cells and erythrocytes, if they're present, and we also look for parasites, crystals, and casts, too. Check out episode 17, which was on urinary casts. Typically, if we receive a specimen, for example, on a Monday, and infection is present, we'll know the name of the bacterium by Tuesday morning and which antimicrobials to use for treatment by Tuesday afternoon. And so that ends this episode of Medical Fun Facts. You can find the show notes for every episode at my blog, drgarrylum.com/blog. You can also find updates at the Facebook page. Medical Fun Facts is available in the iTunes podcast store and also on Stitcher. Now, if you should disagree with anything in these podcasts, or if you'd like to voice a different view, please feel free to write a comment. If I've said something incorrect, I welcome correction. Please also feel free to share your comments on social media. Thank you, and good night.